people are all excited about the 8.5x11 or the 12x18 sheet. How much more excited if you can do that on a 4x8 board or a 5-foot by 10-foot board or on the side of a building or, you know, in a full wall in a retail environment with super decorated wall covering. So
amazing.
If people are excited on a page level, they should be really excited about wide format.
What's up, everyone? It's Eric Vessels with Tactiful. Welcome to another episode of Tactiful Tuesdays. I'm wanting to say I'm losing count now, but I think it's episode 8. I'm really happy to have my good friend Ken Hanulek with me. Ken, welcome to the podcast.
Eric, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So Ken, well known in the industry, Ken is the Vice President of Worldwide Marketing for EFI. You've been with EFI for 13 years now, I think.
Yeah, 13. Coming up, I think in April, it'll be 14. So, it's been a great journey.
Quite a bit of time. And we've known each other for, I think, all that time, for the most part. Seems like we have. So I want to get right into it. EFI, and everybody, excuse my clutter behind me. We talked before we started recording. I'm packing and moving, and it's crazy. So just excuse all of that stuff. EFI has been at the forefront of digital printing technology for a really long time. I wondered if you could share and something exciting that I got to see early and then got to see at Drupa was your recent partnership, EFI and PackSize. Talk to me about how the PackSize, it's EFI X5 Nozomi, aims to revolutionize on-demand box production. This actually, I'm underselling this because it's probably, I don't know if you remember when I got the early view of it in the room.
Of course. I was giddy
as a child. Like it was
We were in Spain together. It was awesome.
It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. Talk a little bit about that. What's the reception? And tell people a little bit about what that is. Everybody may not know what on-demand box production is.
Sure. I spent a fair bit of time in Europe last year. And at Drupa, we announced the X5 Nozomi. We actually had it running live on our stand in Dusseldorf, Germany. And it's this revolutionary industry first that produces perfectly decorated, right-sized, assembled boxes up to every 6 seconds. So it's, as you say, you undersell it when you talk about it. You have to see it to believe it.
There's
a couple of videos out there that are just absolutely amazing. Numerous benefits to the target audience, of course. There's the potential for on-box advertising, the unboxing experience, which continues to gain in popularity. Of course, branding, on-demand, and so many more. So super exciting product. On the flip side, of equal value is the ability to have massive cost takeout. When you think about smaller boxes, right size exactly to the content, you think about all the boxes showing up, UPS, FedEx, of course, Amazon, showing up on your doorstep. If they were right size, there was less waste, smaller box, big, big benefits. You can, of course, print labels of regulatory items, less space is taken up on last mile distribution. So super exciting, revolutionary product, as you said. We'll commercialize it this year and look to do really big things for the 3PLs, the consumer brands. We believe there's new potential revenue streams for the corrugators. And of course, big, big opportunity for the e-tailer. So really great product. Check out the X5 Nozomi EFI and PackSize product. Really something special.
It's so cool. And if I might just paint a picture for everyone watching, and definitely go look this thing up and try to find the videos and maybe we'll try to link them. I'll link stuff up when we publish this. It's got raw corrugated cardboard on the right side and it's feeding it in to a printer and it prints it and makes a box out of it and sizes it. Now, what blew me away is as you're looking at the left end of it, boxes are coming off and they're all different sizes. Like there might be a big one and the very next one might be a really little one and the very next one might be a medium sized one. And so it's like truly like custom on demand sizing and printing. I mean, it blows your mind when you watch it. So I think the applications and like you said, the commercialization of it is going to be interesting to watch because as I sat there watching, I'm just like, whoa. I mean, I think I told you, I was like, I wish I had money, I would buy one of these and build a business around it because it's just that efficient and that cool of a technology. So congratulations.
That last piece that you spoke about, Eric, I mean, when you think about the technology behind the scenes, super cool to see the assembled boxes, all different decorated, but the data and the horsepower to scale graphics real time, to put those labels and feed data directly from an ERP, all that technology behind the scenes is really equally as impressive as decorating and assembling these perfect boxes. So I think it's going to be something really, really important for the packaging industry.
Absolutely. That's really cool. Well, I also want to talk a little bit about EFI Pro 30, the hybrid flatbed roll fed LED device. How does EFI plan to address the evolving needs of print service providers seeking versatile and cost-effective solution with that solution?
Yeah, so that solution and many more. Last year, we commercialized 7 new products for the sign and display, as well as the packaging segments. These products are all similar, but different. They're application-based. There's different price points based on the needs of the print service providers. But the new printers always deliver on a very similar promise, and that's delivering breakthrough technologies that take cost out. Improves quality, of course, and then new functionality. You know, one of the things that's amazing in all this new functionality is it creates the opportunity for higher value applications like the one we were just speaking about, and open up greater profitability for the print service providers. So this is continuing as we speak. We'll commercialize several more products across the packaging segment, across the sign and display, as well as the industrial textile space in the coming quarters.
Awesome, man. So I'm thinking a little bit about a topic that continues to come up, and it's starting to get a little bit, I don't want to say overplayed, it's probably a very negative connotation, but I guess mainstreamed, and that's the topic of sustainability. It's increasingly important in the industry. What initiatives is EFI undertaking to promote eco-friendly practices and technologies within its product line? And well, let me ask you, first of all, I mean, that's kind of the question, right? But let's lead into that by talking about, is that something that's important to EFI and your customers? And not only that, farther downstream, your customers' customers, because I'm assuming that sustainability issues are pretty far downstream, right? The demand for that is actually, you know, the printer's customers are asking for that. So the printers are asking you for devices that comply with.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm in the print supply chain or print business for over 30 years. And I've heard about, you know, green and sustainability that entire time. I think what's exciting as we enter 2025, I think, you know, it's real now. And there's demonstrable things that you can point to that say, hey, as an industry, we are, in fact, making a big commitment around sustainability. EFI's a strong supporter of sustainability. We pioneered LED curing technology 10 years ago, as an example, that uses 80 less energy than the traditional UV or heat-based curing systems. It reduces waste and consumables. Our LED inks have really low VOCs, and they're GreenGuard and GreenGuard Gold certified. We have numerous water-based technologies. As you know, EFI is a huge supplier of ink and ink technologies across all these different vertical markets we're speaking about. Our EFI Nozomi UV LED inks for corrugated, they meet the OCC and E certification for repulpability and recyclability. That's easy to say. We have a wonderful new LCA tool, life cycle assessment, for our packaging customers, and they can leverage this tool to really identify the positive impact digital print has versus some of the analog technologies. And then to put our money where our mouth is and show our commitment, each year EFI publishes our ESG sustainability report. It's third-party validated, so we have some real meat in this report, if you will. It's available on EFI.com. You can check it out. And I'm excited. We just kicked off planning for version 3, and that'll be available later this year. So sustainability is absolutely part of EFI's DNA, and it'll continue to be so.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, you know, I said it's kind of become mainstreamed, but I think what I've seen over the course of my, what is it now, 20, almost a quarter century in the industry, is initially it was kind of like this. There was sort of maybe a political aspect to it, right? And now I think it's become sort of a business imperative, right? Because it's not about just being green. It's about actually being profitable and being efficient. And I think that's the biggest shift that I've seen is now it's just sort of a common understanding of like, well, yeah, we want, like, sustainability isn't like necessarily about, you know, being a hippie per se. It's actually about business. It's actually a business imperative. And I think that's a big shift. And I have seen you guys over the course of the last decade really lead the way in that, you know, in the curing and almost every press event that I've ever been, there's a sustainability segment that you guys talk about. So great job leading the way on that. I think it's really important to have big, strong OEMs that are sort of leading that charge and talking about it. And I know obviously you're not the only one, but good job to you guys. At Drupa, you've mentioned a lot of the new products and commercializations, but you announced several new products across a lot of your core markets. Can you elaborate for us a little bit on those innovations and how they align with the industry shift from analog to digital? Because we're still shifting. I mean, we're still at our core, I think, at least on the commercial side, analog industry, but it's continuing to shift. And talk about that shift and how your products are sort of leading that analog to digital transformation.
Sure. This analog to digital transformation that people, they almost speak about it as this mega trend that's happening now. EFI has been doing this for 35 years. I mean, this is what we're about, the conversion of high value applications from analog to digital print. We capitalize on all the advantages of producing those products digitally to give you what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want it. And it's really that simple. At Drupa, we showcase solutions that provide opportunities for print service providers. As you said, if I go around the booth virtually in my head, you know, we had packaging. We had.
You still remember the booth?
I still remember the booth like it's yesterday. Of course,
What do you mean still remember? It's seared in your brain. How many times did you do that lap?
I was there for quite a bit of time, and I spent the previous year planning it all. So I can walk through it like it's the next room over, if you will. But we showcased the packaging systems, sign and display. We had some really neat innovation around industrial textile. And all these applications, as I said earlier, they leverage cost takeout. They leverage new applications. A few interesting examples that come to mind, clear and white ink, and we'll talk about this when we talk about embellishments, binderless pigment ink for textile. You know, we talk about sustainability. This ink technology reduces a ton of bad things that are associated with the industrial textile business because it's binderless and it's just a much more efficient process. So I think big things will happen there. And then, of course, we talked about water-based ink for the packaging segment, which is going to open up new opportunities on the food-based packaging or near food-based packaging segment. So lots of exciting things. Drupa was and always is a great place to feature innovations. What was different from EFI, all of the technologies that we showed are available either today or in a very short amount of time. There was no big future wait. It's all here and happening right as we speak.
No vaporware from EFI.
I love it.
It's all available. Yeah. So you spoke a little bit about embellishments, and obviously, you know, near and dear to our heart here at Tactful. It's we consider ourselves the digital embellishment experts. We're really trying to educate the market, and a lot of people might not think of embellishments on like the wide format side, or even in, you know, in textiles or some of the inkjet devices that you're doing. But I wanted to ask you, how have you seen digital embellishments evolve, and what future developments do you anticipate in that area? And what do you consider a digital embellishment, Ken, anyway? Like, what does it have to be? Foil? I mean, does it have to be like, you know, clear? Does it have to be raised varnish? What's an embellishment to you, and how do you see that market evolving over time, especially in your space?
Yeah, it's funny. Digital embellishments are all the talk these days. So nice work, Eric. Unfortunately, I'm a little insulted because EFI has been doing this for the past 15 years. First with white ink technology, so really cool things. And as you said, you can make it dimensional. Then with clear ink technology, clear has some really interesting things. You can not only make it decorative or aesthetic, but it also has protective values. We can leverage both of these technologies for the haptic or layered printing. So you get a dimensionality, a feel to create special effects. A couple special effects include things like wall coverings. You can simulate wood on a very inexpensive piece of substrate.
Yes.
Even simulate tile and leather as an example. Leather is very, very expensive, but there are some synthetic products out there. And then you decorate that with white, and you can put color over the white and do some really, really neat things. So I'm excited to see additional applications born of these technologies and of the printers. And these new technologies will come from the foundation we started many, many years ago. Our customers always push us to do innovative things. You know, I can tell you, I've seen more new applications over the past 2 years than I have in the past 10. And every week, it's just something new that I'm like, wow, I never thought of that. And really, really clever. And people are leveraging our technology to do big things.
Yeah, I think it's important that you highlight, and hopefully we haven't insulted you, but I think it's...
I was just teasing you on that, by the way. No, I was just kidding.
No, it's all good. And we're going to be talking about you guys and that segment of the market more and more. I mean, in the background on our roadmap is to build some software that helps, you know, that side of the segment. We're not continuing. We're not just going to focus on toner and inkjet, you know, forever. You know, the Scodex is in the MGIs and the fifth and sixth colors. Like we're actively in the background building stuff for flatbed, wide format, and that market. Because you're right. Because what is an embellishment? Embellishment is anything that you add that enhances your regular CMYK, right? CMYK plus. So what are you doing? And you guys have been doing that. Like it's true. And I'm really glad you mentioned that, because it's worth getting out there and having people understand what an embellishment is. And we're currently having sort of that discussion. I don't know if you saw, we recently joined the Ghent work. And part of that work is like, how do we talk about embellishments in the same way so that we can define it so that everybody's saying the same thing, so that we don't leave out the EFIs who've been doing it for 15 years, right? So hopefully
people are all excited about the 8.5x11 or the 12x18 sheet. How much more excited if you can do that on a 4x8 board or a 5x10 board or on the side of a building, or, you know, in a full wall in a retail environment with super decorated wall covering. So
amazing.
If people are excited on a page level, they should be really excited about wide format.
Hugely excited. Because imagine, for instance, you go into a Chipotle or whatever, and there's really decorative wall coverings and the avocado is like tactile. Like still that tactile interaction creates an emotional connection. We know that with smaller printed pieces, right? There's no reason why it can't. Well, no reason why it can't. It does work on a larger scale. Anytime you have somebody that sees a printed piece, like Joanne Gore talks about this all the time. She gave a really good presentation at Drupa. First goal is to get people to see it. Okay, so that's design and color for the most part. And the second goal is to get people to touch it. And once you do that, what do? They buy it. That's true in packaging. It's true in creating that relationship. So I'm really glad that we've been able to highlight the fact that, you know, your segment of the business is also doing this type of thing. And it's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on Tactful Tuesdays, because we had to talk about that. Given the challenges and opportunities in the market today, what advice would you offer to print service providers who are looking to adopt new technologies and stay competitive? What's key for them?
Yeah, so I think you have to define the business objectives and think about your current and future needs and evaluate partners. There's a lot of partners out there, and identify people that are not just printer integrators, if you will. Look for someone that develops the printer, the hardware, the software, the ink technology is co-developed with the printer to create a true system that gives you the potential to unlock some of this value we're speaking about with white, with clear, embellishments, etc. And then really importantly, these are mechanical and software and technology systems. You need world-class professional services, whether that's training and education, whether that's help with your go-to-market or break-fix technology. And you really need to identify a partner that has the totality of those parts. So 1+1=7, not 2.
Absolutely. I think the key word that you said that just hit me over the head was partner, right? Like I think that gets... Sometimes that gets lost, right? We just say that without understanding what that means. But what it really means is like you're getting out of the transactional space and you're getting into the relationship space.
Absolutely.
When you move over from just buying and selling and getting equipment and getting supplies to figuring out solutions and having a partner that can help you do that. That's what that partnership, I think, means. And I've seen from you guys just a wonderful ability to create relationships. I feel like probably my strongest relationships in the industry have been people that work at EFI. And I super, you know, value that. When you can start to call people friends that you've been working with, that's when you know you've got those types of relationships. And if you're doing that with me over the course of years, I know for a fact you're doing it with customers. And I think that's a key differentiator is print service providers need to find those people that they can find that are partners, that are true partners.
You bring up a good point. One of the things that we've been speaking about as an industry for the past 5 years, it was a big push at Drupa in the terminology of convergence. So not only have this big partnership with a print service provider, and it used to be very siloed, we're starting to see, you know, these markets come together. So I see sign and display guys that are executing on packaging. I see packaging that want to get involved in soft signage or pigmented based textile printing, dye sublimation. So this convergence really just gives us the opportunity to further embed ourselves in some of those relationships with the PSPs.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I view it as like differentiation, right? Like how do I, the progressive printers that I've been in their shops, they're just listening to their customers and they're offering what they need, right? All the way from mailing and fulfillment all the way to like freaking t-shirts or marketing collateral, point of, you know, pop, or, you know, just try to offer everything. And to do that well is difficult because you've got to have certain things integrated, right? You've got to have all of your, I mean, I'm amazed sometimes at how color stays consistent across different devices. Again, standards come into play there and talking about it in the same ways. Yeah, I think that's a really good point that I think the printers who are going to continue to make it are going to do this convergence thing or this, you know, do everything for their customers.
They want to be in the yes business for their customers, right? You don't want them going somewhere else. You want to do it all for them and be in the yes business and provide world-class products.
For sure. And I've even seen cases, and I'm sure you have too, of shops that like didn't offer X, whatever it is. And because a customer asked for it, they started offering it. And that became the biggest part of their business.
Absolutely. Like,
you never know. You've got to constantly be pivoting and constantly be willing to iterate whatever it is that your business is. But if you're not actively listening, and again, let's go back to that conversation we just had earlier. If you're not partnered, you're probably not listening, because if you're in transaction mode, there isn't any conversation to listen to. So I think that cements that right there. So that's the big advice that we have for everybody from this show. So wrapping up here, I know, appreciate you spending so much time with me today. These podcasts tend to go in the 20-minute range, and sure enough, here we are. Time just flies. I love it. What is your favorite thing to do when you're not working? And I know you work a lot, but you have to have some things that you got to have some chill time, right? What do you do?
Yeah, of course, always. So I enjoy spending time, of course, with my wife. We enjoy traveling. We do a lot of weekend trips. I love cooking.
I'll stop you there.
Yep.
Traveling. Favorite place you've
been? Oh, it's too hard for me to say. I love anywhere I go in Europe.
Top two.
Okay, top two. Vienna, Austria, and Prague, Czechoslovakia.
Oh, man. Those are definitely on my list as well. I haven't been to Vienna. I went to Linz. Where did I go? Linz, Austria? But Prague, 100% has to be on everyone's list. And it's amazing. Just a, yeah, really, really amazing city. And I know you cook. Like, you make you cook. You like smoke meat.
Yeah, I love cooking. I love food. And part of the great part about the job is you get to have all these different experiences around the globe. And I love to bring that home and prepare food for friends and family. And it's just, as you said, chill time's important. It gives you time to clear your head and just relax, if you will. Absolutely. The other thing that I love is I love watching and playing a lot of different sports.
You pick up, of course. Guys?
I've tried it. I've got some work to do there.
I've never played it. I'm looking forward to doing it. It seems like it's in our demographic, right? Like, we should be playing pickleball right now.
I do understand why people are annoyed by the click, click, click. You know, there's some big controversy around that.
Tennis players that I know really don't like pickleball.
Yeah. So, but I mentioned sports. You know, I enjoy the view. I love the win and everything. This weekend is one of my favorite weekends. You have the AFC and NFC championship games and just a fun football weekend as we build to the Super Bowl.
And our teams aren't involved, so bump, bump.
Yeah, I'm in a rebuild mode here with the New England Patriots, and I'm optimistic on the future. We got a great new coach. We got a great new offensive coordinator. So look for big things again from the Patriots.
You had your time, brother. Like, I'm so annoyed with the Patriots because they just always had our number. I'm a Steelers fan for life. Like, we ruled the 70s, and like, you guys ruled the thousands, I think. But hey, listen, it's fun to watch. It's competitive. One thing I wanted to just circle back on cooking because I'm super interested in this. So you're entertaining. What's your go-to thing you're going to make?
I fancy, you know, my favorite technique is grilling. You know, whether it's an amazing steak, seafood, different flavors, different techniques. You know, meat and seafood on the grill is my favorite. I've got my grill set up to go year-round. I have a lot of friends, and I say to them, you know, real people grill year-round, not half-time. Because we're in New England, the weather gets bad. You just need to preheat the grill 20 minutes or so to get the metal warm.
Yeah, you just shovel your way out to the grill and just get going, man. Like,
I did that last night after a recent snowstorm. So the grill's ready to go on the weekend.
That's so great. Well, I'm gonna wait until spring or summer, maybe, and I'll come up and I'll enjoy some. I know you make. I think you showed me that you made a mean brisket one time. So I look forward to enjoying some of that. Ken, I can't thank you enough. Lots of great insights. Appreciate you for updating us on a lot of the stuff that EFI is doing and talking about just really important topics. I think people will get a lot out of this. Appreciate you being on Tactical Tuesdays.
Always my pleasure. Thanks so much for the opportunity, and I can't wait till I see you next time.
Thanks, brother.